Today, I'm going to be asking for you guys to participate right off the bat in the sermon, but you're not going to have to stand up. You're not even going to have to say anything. You're not even going to have to move. Okay, so you might think, oh, that sounds pretty easy. But I do need you guys to really engage, and you're going to engage your imaginations, which for some of us, there might be some cobwebs or something that you have to brush off. Okay, but the more clearly you imagine this in your head, the more it'll do to help you prepare for this sermon, okay? So what I want you to imagine, take a look around the people in the pew next to you or behind you, and pick out about 5, 6, 7 people, okay? And I want you to imagine what you yourself and those other several people, what would you all look like if you were all kids, you know, about 5, 6 years old, okay? So there's less, you know, Mike doesn't have a beard. I'm not going to call the people out who would now have hair, but you can connect that, you know. And so picture what they look like as little kids. It's pretty fun to think about. I mean, you know what you looked like, and but picture what they would look like. Now, that's the fun part of our imagination. Now I've got kind of a sad piece about imagine where the 5 or 6 or 7 of you are. So imagine that you guys are in a slum. I don't know if you have traveled very much to see a legitimate slum, but if you have, typically slums are in places where the rest of the people in town don't want to live, and so they're normally low places, a lot of mud there. The mud's coming from rain, but it's also coming from, there's typically not good sewage, obviously, in a slum, and so it's pretty gross mud that people are in. I want you to picture you and the 5 or 6 other kids that you're imagining as little kids. I want to picture that you guys are living in that slum and that you've lived there your whole life, okay? This is kind of a sad thought. I've taken us somewhere, though. So picture what that's like. Think about the smells. Think about how you spend your time. One of the ways you might spend your time if you were living in a slum as a little kid and didn't know any different is if all you had were rags as your only possessions, you probably would make yourself some toys. And when you're living in a slum, the type of toys that you would make are probably kind of mud pie sort of situations like this. So I want to picture this is a normal day for you, and you have put together 13 mud pies, which is quite a bit. And for you, you're not, you don't think life's terrible. This is your life, you know. Imagine what you'd be thinking. And you've got this big stack of mud pies, and you're looking around. There's one guy in the group that has more than you. Maybe you picture that guy's smug face. But several of the other people around you don't have as many as you, so you're pretty proud with the 13, and you're continuing to build. Then I want you to imagine in this scenario, an adult walks up to you and your 6 or 7 buddies, and the thing that sticks out to you the most about this adult as he stoops down to talk with you is his hair, and the thing about his hair that's so different for you is you've never seen somebody with clean hair before without it being matted and bugs and all of that. So I'll leave this to your imagination. What color is his hair? Think about that. Okay, so you're picturing this guy. This guy says, kids, I want to offer you guys a trip to the ocean. Now, some of your minds go to terrible spots, I guess, with a guy coming up to kids. I didn't think about that in first service. I didn't think about that until just now. But other people, your imagination might go to like a scene like this, and that's because you're not imagining very closely what it would really be like to be that kid who grew up in the slum. Because the kid that grew up in the slum has no idea that the ocean looks like this or even what the ocean might be. All they know is the little bit of things that they've seen. And so for you, as that kid, this stranger you've never met offers you something you don't understand. And you have a very clear choice of, do I turn my back on my 13 mud pies? And you know one of those other kids is going to snag those up as soon as you turn your back. And do you go with this guy or not? And even though it seems like a clear choice, I want to let you know that it might be a really difficult choice for that kid because they don't understand what's being offered. And this whole idea, the story I told you today, it's inspired by a quote from C.S. Lewis. It's a few different slides to take us through it. C.S. Lewis says, it would seem that our Lord, talking about Jesus, finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. What he's saying here is that Jesus wants a lot more for you than you want for yourself. Let's read on. He says, we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. How many people have wasted a lot of effort after drink or sex or ambition or something else dumb that you thought was going to be so spectacular when you got it, and it left you empty, right? I don't think very many of us set the bar at I'm going after infinite joy. You know, like when people set New Year's goals and stuff, they don't set it that high, okay? Here's where the mud pie comes in. He says, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. You can't imagine what Jesus wants for your life. The type of woman, the type of man he wants to make you into, the things he wants to bless you with. And so we're so ignorant of that, we get pleased with stupid little things that we obsess over and freak out over and we chase after, and we miss what Jesus wants for us. Last week, Gabby helped preach, and she was talking about this passage in Philippians 3, and she was talking about how Paul says that compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is garbage. And Gabby shared an awesome story about not being willing to compromise as she pursued knowing Jesus more and more. So we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. We're going to pick up in verse 10 of Philippians 3, and this verse is our key verse today. We'll read some others, but this is the one to really take home. So Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. That's the first one. And the participation in his sufferings. That's the second one. Becoming like him in his death. So that's the third. Most of us, when we hear this phrase, I want to know Jesus, either we just don't even understand what that means, maybe. Or we might get this picture of a little sunlit, little pretty table with little doodads on it and like a steaming cup of coffee and an open devotional. And there's like a 5-minute time with a fuzzy feeling at the end. And that's what we think of when it comes to knowing Jesus. Paul doesn't describe it that way. He describes it with three very specific things. He says, I want to know the power that rose Jesus from the dead. That's more power than exists anywhere else, anything we've ever experienced. Romaine has never seen that sort of power before. Nobody has, unless you've seen it through Jesus. He's the only one with that kind of power. So let's talk about it a little bit. We'll talk about the other two as well. The power of his resurrection. I was talking with Shane Campy. He stopped by the office earlier this week. If you don't know Shane's story, Google Shane Campy, and a video will come up from I Am Second, and it tells this miraculous story, okay? Or Shane is right here. You just hear it straight from him. Shane's sitting right back there if you want to wave at us. So Shane and I were talking, and Shane used an interesting phrase when he described his life before Jesus. He said, basically what I was doing was passive suicide. The substances he was putting in his body, the way he was treating himself, and the way he was acting, he wanted to die. And he thought it was only a matter of time. God had different plans. God had different plans for a lot of folks, okay? And so Shane crashed his motorcycle drunk and left a big chunk of his brain on the pavement. He was a human vegetable. They were ready to pull him off of life support when a group of Christians prayed for him. And within the day, he woke up, changed Shane's life, changed Whispering Danny's life. The ripples of that, like Gabby was talking about down in Sunday school, the ripples of that continue to go. Maywood is different because of the miracle that God did that night or that day. Shane talked about he had a choice after he experienced that power. He said, I could have gone back to my old way of living. But I had to face the fact that Jesus was real. You see, the power, Shane could no longer deny that Jesus was real. He still had a choice about his actions, but he didn't have a choice about what was real anymore. Shane chose to do something different. And that's why there's this awesome picture of him and Harry that you can see right here. I mean, that's why this sort of stuff is happening, is because Shane handed over the keys of his life to Jesus. Shane's not perfect, but Shane knows Jesus better because God's power has touched his life. And if you're trying to keep your life very safe and trying to make it where you don't have to change, then you're not going to know Jesus that way. But if you'll open up, like people in that hospital room, to say, Jesus, we need you to do something we can't do, God can get involved in your life. But when God gets involved in your life in a powerful way, it demands change. Okay, so don't walk into that thinking you're going to stay the same. So the first way Paul says we know Jesus is we get involved with his power. And in your life today, where do you want to see God's power? What are you doing to invite God into that? The next way he says about knowing Jesus is participation in his suffering. This awkward-looking person is me. About 10 years ago, I went hitchhiking with a friend of mine, and this is down in Bay City, Texas, and he took a picture of me right as I woke up, because that's what friends do, I guess. So took a picture of me, and I'm wearing all the clothing I have, which is not very much, and I actually slept pretty well there on the ground in Texas because it was so warm in Texas. But I still, I say so warm, but I still wore everything I had on me. The night before, I was hundreds and hundreds of miles north in Wagoner, Oklahoma, and I had maybe the coldest night I've ever had in my life, even though it was probably 40 degrees or something. But the ground was so cold, and I can remember trying to like twist my body to get as little of me touching the ground as I could, because it just felt like heat was just like zapping out of my body into the ground, and I was not prepared for that at all. Didn't bring good stuff with me. So had that experience. What does it have to do with knowing Jesus better? Well, for years before this, I was familiar with the verse and the Gospels. If someone comes up to Jesus and says, I want to, this is a paraphrase, say, I want to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, foxes have holes in the ground, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This idea of, I'm going to be sleeping on the dirt tonight. Like, do you still want to follow me? So I read that, I understood it with my mind as soon as I, or for years at least, I don't know about as soon as I read it. But I knew it differently after I'd slept on the ground for a couple of nights. And this is not a big deal. A lot of you have experienced a lot more difficult times of homelessness than I have, but it gave me a different connection with Jesus, because I understood the next day, or the day before this, when I was trying to stay awake, and it was really hard because I hadn't slept well, and my body had all these aches and pains, I thought Jesus had some of those same struggles each day when he was doing all the stuff we read about in the Bible. Like his shoulder felt out of place too. Or he was battling sleep or whatever. Or just the stress of not knowing where you're going to sleep at night. It's a stressful thing, and it stresses you out as you're finding the place to sleep, to think like, who can see me while I'm sleeping here, and am I going to be safe? I mean, there's all this weird pressure that I'd never thought about when I was reading the Gospels until I did this. Now, you don't need to go sleep outside. My mom didn't want me to do this. I'm sure your mom doesn't want you to do that. But what I am telling you is when you go through hard things in life, which you will go through suffering, did you ever think this is a way to get to know Jesus better? The thing that is hurting me right now, I bet Jesus has experienced that same hurt. And there's a lot deeper ones than this. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' adult brothers make light of his entire calling. They doubt who he is. They push him around and bullying him. They disrespect him. Have you ever had a family member who should have supported you come alongside you and do all those types of things to you? If you have, that's a way to actually know and connect with Jesus. people who go through battles, if you watch interviews or talk to people that have been through war, if they go through a battle and they share a foxhole with somebody else, there's a bond that comes out of that that can't come out in other ways. There's a bond of going through something hard together. And Paul says, I want to know Jesus by going through hard things with Jesus, by going through the same sort of things that he went through so I can know him better. I mean, this is a wild outlook on hard times. But think about the hardest thing in your life right now, the thing that you wish you could turn a light switch off and turn it off. Is there a way that suffering, can you know Jesus through it? Can you get to know him better with it? The final one that Paul talks about is becoming like Jesus in his death. Jesus himself says if we want to follow him, we've got to take up our cross daily. Crucifixion is the ultimate expression of dying. Obviously, it's the ultimate expression of suffering, humiliation. And Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you're going to over and over again have to choose God's way, not your way. This is the one that holds a lot of people up from knowing Jesus. If you came to the room today and you think, my relationship with Jesus is not what I want it to be. I don't know him the way I want to. This is a good place to start. Jesus, is there something in my life that I haven't given over to you? Is there something in my life that's holding me back? Have my fist tightly wrapped around, and I won't give it up. We're going to read on some verses. Right? We're going to go through them pretty quick, but I want you to pick up the momentum that Paul's talking about here. This is towards the end of his life. He's in prison for Jesus. He's planted tons of churches. He's been beat up countless times for the name of Jesus. He's done all this stuff. This is how he talks. He says, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. He doesn't talk about the going to heaven as like a little checkbox of, oh, I know I'm good on that. He says, if I chase after Jesus with everything I have and my whole life's about knowing him, somehow, I don't even understand it, but Jesus is going to take care of me forever. He goes on to say, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul says he hasn't arrived. And it's not an insult to say we've not done as much as Paul had done at this point. Paul says, I've got so much further to go. I'm pressing on. If you're here today and you're not pressing on, why is that? Like this verse says that Jesus took hold of Paul for a purpose, and Paul took hold of Jesus. It's not a stretch to say Jesus took hold of each person in this room. He has a purpose when he's reached down for you. And if you'll take hold of him, then that purpose will happen. You're the only one that can opt out. Like no one else on the outside can make it not happen. It says, brothers and sisters, it says kind of the same thing, and I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So he's still pressing on. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God has called each and every person here. Even if you've not even started with Jesus and you don't understand Jesus yet, God is calling out to you and saying, come and go with me somewhere. Even if you've known Jesus for 80 years, he's calling you to more than you've arrived at today. Last idea for you guys, preparing for our response. Picture the kids that you were imagining earlier, and picture the expression they have when they come to the ocean, they come to that beach for the first time. They're covered in mud still. And you know, they've never seen anything like the ocean. If you've grown up your whole life in a slum, you've never seen anything like that much open space, that much clean air, the smell of salt in the air. You've never experienced cleanliness like they'll get within seconds of jumping into that ocean. They'll be cleaner than they've ever been their whole life. they're about to have more joy than they've ever had. And the mud pies that they were so scared to leave, after a little bit of time there, those mud pies will be disgusting to them. They'll think, I don't want that at all. Some of us have had a piece of that experience. We've left things in our past and had a first taste of Jesus, and we think the stuff I used to chase after is garbage compared to this. That's the beginning of what Jesus has for us. I got to talk with some leaders about these ideas about a week ago. One of them told me, you know, Jake, I've got a mud pie in my life. It's something I'm comfortable with and I could just keep doing, but Jesus has something greater for me, and maybe I need to be willing to let this thing go. If we are honest, there's things that we're holding on to that are holding us back from knowing Jesus the way Paul talks about here. You get to decide today. Do you want to stay with the mud pie? Do you want to go to the ocean? Do you want to know the power, the suffering, and the death of Jesus so somehow his new life is full in you? Derek and Sian are coming up. The response time today is about you making that choice. You can come down and be prayed for. You can stay where you're at. But only you can decide, Jesus, here's the mud pie I want to give you. Jesus, I want to know you more than anything. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you came down to us, that you reached for us, and you took hold of us for a purpose. Jesus, I pray for each person in this room that we would take hold of you so we can live out that purpose. It's in your name we pray. Amen.